subsidized, privately profitable, the anthem of the upper tier, upper tier, untouchable, focus a moment, not in approval, bury our heads in the bargains of these neo-colonials. A former nemesis, the romance of the nation state, now plus a racer for a new bed, now we'll concentrate, try again, but now we'll confuse what is class war, is this class war, yes, this is class war.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is a weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Welcome to the shows, my friends. My name is Tim. We are also available on CITR.ca. That's the website. We just heard a band by a legendary Canadian band called Propagandy. That was a song called And We Thought That Nation States Were a Bad Idea. And that was a song from their album called Less Talk, More Rock. That was a request from my regular listener, Liam. He requested to play the song, and I decided to start the show with this brilliant track by Canadian legends from Winnipeg, Propagandy. Today's show will have two interviews, and quite interesting interviews in my opinion. Both interviews will be with Greek bands. Two Greek bands played in October in Vancouver, a punk band called Despite Everything, and a metal band called Septic Flesh. I decided to interview those two bands because it's interesting to talk to the musicians from Greece. I never had a chance to talk to musicians of Greece, and I, to be quite honest, don't know that many punk and metal bands. I know several bands, but I don't know the whole scene, so it was a really interesting insight to talk to the guys and see, you know, what they think of North American scene, of to hear what they think about Greek scene. And I obviously united with my good friend. His name is Manos. He's been on the show before, and because he's Greek, he's from Greece, and we united our forces and interviewed those bands. And I have my friend Manos on the telephone line. Mano, my friend, can you hear me? And thank you so much for calling in and finding 5 minutes out of your busy day at work.
Hey. Hi, Tim. How's it going?
Good, good, good. Happy to hear you over the telephone line, and I'm happy that you helped me to do those brilliant interviews.
Oh, no, I'm happy you helped me get to talk to those guys. I had a great time interviewing them, and it's my pleasure joining you on the show.
Yeah, I think it was awesome to see you talking your own language, Greek language, the guys, and I saw how much fun you had just simply from talking Greek to the musicians you like.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been able to get back there in a couple of years now, and you know, I really do miss it a lot of the time, and it's nice to get a bit of that culture back, and even just talking to people or listening to them. You remember when we were at Despite Everything, and they were talking to each other before they started their set. I was even smiling, you know.
Yeah, just, you were translating everything to me.
Yeah, yeah. So it was great. But how about the guy? Remember the drummer from Despite Everything? Who he spoke Greek and Russian.
Yeah, yeah, we had a guy who spoke Greek, Russian, and English. Yeah, he is from Kazakhstan, and he's a very international guy. Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, I was surprised that, you know, I expected them to speak all Greek, and then he talked back Russian to me. That was a very international coincidence.
That was quite a trifecta there.
What was your best, you know, what was the most interesting thing for you that you found out just talking to those Greek bands from your own country?
I don't know. You know, I think even apart from the music, just listening to, you know, their daily lives back home, and, you know, where in Athens they're from and what they do, and, you know, just the whole situation over there from their perspective, that was quite interesting. But, of course, when we got down to the music, you know, I really enjoyed talking to Fotis from Septic Flesh, the drummer. You know, I mean, everyone can see the passion, that it's just so genuine with him. Well, how much he loves the music and what he's doing. And I felt like that, you know, it was just so nice talking to him and feeling that come through.
Yeah, I saw, I just remember, yeah, Fortis, both bands were very passionate about what they do, but Fortis was extremely passionate, and he went in some nerdy things, and we'll hear this stuff on the show, like about his technique of playing drums and some other aspects, which, you know, not all the bands talk about.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. He's an amazing drummer who doesn't get as much credit maybe as he should, because, he's, you know, the band he's on isn't that huge. But, yeah, we talk about this technique he's pioneering called the Hell Blast, and he gets into that, and that's pretty interesting if you can kind of keep up with what he's saying. Maybe the drummers out there will appreciate it a bit more.
Yeah. From, you know Greek scene definitely better than I do, and probably than all the listeners out there. But in your opinion, what's the biggest difference between North American scene and Greek scene? You know, underground music.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, in both places, the bands, they struggle to kind of get a foothold in the genre and start becoming, you know, getting their music out there beyond the local scene, you know. But I think the overall goals are a bit different, because, like here, you know, you're kind of, I feel like a lot of guys are looking for a big break, maybe a radio song, or, you know, not the smaller local bands I know, but in general, I think. But even, for example, Fotis, who we'll talk to later, he had a chance to join up with the Black Dahlia Murder, which is a pretty big band at this point in the metal scene, and he didn't do it because he wanted to stay home and be with people who shared the same interests and the same direction as him musically, and that kind of thing, I think, is a little stronger at the smaller bands in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you told me about that, and I was surprised because, you know, most of the, you know, I don't know, I can't speak for all the musicians, but I know that, you know, when you have an offer from a big band, from a big touring band, people usually take it.
Yeah, you know, you'd expect, I'm sure it would be more money, and
yeah.
But, you know, maybe he'd be bored, maybe he doesn't like the music as much, but those guys, from what I was told, had even bought him a ticket out to meet them, you know, and, you know, last minute he kind of decided to stay where he was, which I respect that decision.
All right, so let's get on to all the interviews. We'll start with Despite Everything, and then the second half of the show, we'll hear out the interview with Septic Flesh drummer Fortis. And let's start with the song by Despite Everything, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. So this is a song from their album, first kind of compilation of 2 7 inches called Castaways Discography. And yeah, let's check it out. Mano, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for all your help with the Greek translation and all those Greek musicians. I had a blast. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. I'll let you go to your busy day at work, and we will listen to Greek band called Despite Everything, all the way from Athens, Greece. And as I said, this is a song called Between a Rock and a Hard Place. That was pretty good, huh? That was Despite Everything from Athens, Greece, and they played a show in Vancouver in the middle of October. And as we spoke with Manos in the beginning of the show, we got a chance to talk to the guys. Super, super nice guys. Very interesting conversation. And let's hear the first part of our interview, our conversation with the band from Greece, Despite Everything. So let's check it out. This is Despite Everything from Greece. Welcome to Vancouver, British Columbia. Could you please introduce yourself so we know who we're talking from, Despite Everything, all the way from Athens, Greece.
Hello, we're Despite Everything. We're actually two fours of Despite Everything. I'm Peyo.
I'm Jack.
And we're fucking happy to be here.
Yes.
Yeah, this is great. Let's talk about your discography. I know that you have two 7-inches, one split of Insane from Slovenia, one split of Unfun from Canada, and you have Castaway's discography. Am I missing anything?
No, that's everything.
Good. And there's a new album coming out in...
In spring 2013.
Perfect. Are you planning to release it here or Greece only?
Nothing is really confirmed yet, but we're still waiting. The only reason that the album is not out now is because of this, that we don't know exactly what we plan to do with the labels and so on.
It's always good to find like some decent labels that are able to promote and maybe distribute the album like in places where we can't.
Yeah.
That's the main reason. It's not the financial thing. It's like more about distribution, getting to know more people.
Yeah.
And this is your first time in Vancouver, but you've been to North America a couple times before, correct?
Well, we last year we did the East Coast tour. Uh-huh. When we got invited to play Fest, we did an East Coast tour with Unfun. But this is our first time this north, up in Canada. And it's north. Very north.
And you mentioned Fest, and this tour is also leading you to Fest, is that correct?
Yes, in 1 week we fly over to Tampa.
Okay.
And then we start a tour from Tampa to New York with Timeshares.
It's nice.
It's a great band from New York.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
And Fest, like I know, like even here for us, Fest is something like, you know, we all crave and like we go crazy. I can't even imagine for you guys coming over and seeing all those great bands.
It's better than you can imagine.
Better.
No, it's like having biggest playground, and you're all your life you're a kid and you want to go to all these places where you cannot actually go, and then one day they just let you loose with like cheap beer and they tell you how fun everything is here, and it's like playground for adult punk rockers, I guess.
It's just one big punk rock party.
And the best part about Fest is that everybody is like on party mode. No, there's no whining, there's no bullshit talking. It's like you just meet people just by looking at him. Everybody's like, hey, what's up, cool, everything all right, you know, you cheer with your beer and that's the end of it. It's like beautiful, like everybody's there for the same reason, punk rock or hardcore or whatever.
I guess after being stuck in a van like this with how many guys did you say?
17.
17 guys in this van for a month at a time. It must be nice to get there and just relax. It's a good gift at the end, huh?
Well, I mean, luckily we're not going with this van all the way to Florida. You know, we love this van, but you know, 17 people to Florida
is
not
going to
happen.
It's a bit too much.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
And it's a bit not too safe to drive all these miles, especially through like...
We're flying to Florida. But this van did get us last year from New York to Florida.
Yes. Really?
So, yes.
Like 10 people? 11 people?
10.
But like, it was actually the two bands and a couple more guys and girls that decided that they needed a ride down south.
Yeah, we just...
Oh, really?
That's nice of you guys.
Fest, how was the reception for you as a younger band, not very known here?
As freshmen, you mean?
Yeah, you can go, but like, how was the Fest?
It was good. I mean, what the Fest does is that they put all the Europeans together. I don't know if that's a good thing, because it really does separate the crowds and you don't have many new American faces. Like, it's like all our friends that we knew from Europe who were playing there or visiting were all there.
Uh-huh.
And it's really nice, but it's just that we wish that there was more Americans there, like, because, you know, that really did create a big...
Yeah, it's a different scene, which most of these people don't really know European bands the same way in Europe. In Europe, most Europeans know American bands, but you get the point.
Yeah.
No, I guess it's harder to convince Americans to listen to a European band than it is to Europeans to listen to an American band.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but it was a great show. It really was.
And I mean, like, just the fact that you're that far away from home.
Yeah.
It's October, it's Halloween.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's back home working, and you're like sitting with a beer in your hand since like 11 o'clock in the morning, watching Hot Water Music and Samyam and all these bands. It's like unbelievable. Yeah.
You mentioned the Hot Water Music, and what other bands you saw and you were blown away, like, you know, just at the Fest?
I don't know. For me, I think Against Me played
Against
the best.
Me?
Yeah, they played a crazy set.
We've seen them a couple of times, like earlier on, like 3-4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
They were always great, but this time the playlist.
So tight, yeah.
Okay, obviously it was like big band material, so it was like a perfectly planned playlist. They just started playing, and it was like mind blowing till the last song.
Yeah,
but it was so fucking good, so I don't think anybody can say that. Maybe. Well, there were lots of great bands like Samyam.
Yeah, look, I mean, there was also many great smaller bands.
Iron Sheik.
Yeah,
dude, these guys, they played like one venue that was kind of big, and like...
Uh-huh.
Just the whole place.
The whole place was singing along, and uh-huh. Yeah. I've only seen this in Bouncing Soul concerts.
Not bad.
I never whispered to myself.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is weekly punk rock radio show called The Rocket from Russia. We just heard a song by a great band from Greece. They're called Despite Everything. And we heard a song called Under the Gun from their album called Castaways Discography. It's just a compilation of 2 7-inches plus one extra song. We heard the first part of the interview with the guys. Let's hear the second part of the interview of Despite Everything. I really like their music. I literally think the fact that amazes me that band from, you know, so far away, and I, you know, never saw them live before, and they made such a quality music. I really, really, really enjoy their set and enjoy their music. So let's check out second part of the interview, and then we will hear the interview with Fortis, who is the drummer of Septic Flesh, another Greek band. But for now, second part of the interview with Despite Everything.
Let's now talk a little bit about Greek scene, because this is, you know, like, I'm super stoked to hear about Greek scene. I know a little bit about, I know that there's something happening in Athens, a little bit in Larissa, and I know some bands. How big is the scene comparing to here? Is there a scene, like, a couple of words about this?
Yeah, of course
Greek
there's
punk
a scene.
There's a scene, and it's a big one. Like, you cannot compare with here. Like, Athens, even though Greece is a small country, Athens is a city of 5 to 6 million. Which means, like, there is a big scene when it comes to all this kind of music, from metal to punk rock to everything. The only problem, like, and that would be our humble opinion, right, not anything else, is that there's too many divisions. Like, there's the hardcore kids, and then there's punk rock kids, and then there's the so-called DIY kids, and there's the not-so-DIY kids.
And even more DIY.
And then there are two DIY kids and crusties. So we're all talking about people that they come from the same background. They do pretty much the same thing, maybe in different ways, but in the end of the day, they do the same thing. They organize shows, they play in bands, and I know this whole thing about unity is a bit too cliche, but this is what made this scene like where it is right now, and I think like we should take it as a lesson from what happened. It's great, but you know, this is just us whining a bit, because we're always looking for something to unite people and make something better. But it's a great scene, you know. There's lots of great bands. Like we have a big thing with Crust in Greece. Everybody loves Crusty
really?
Bands. Yes, of course.
Wow.
There's like lots of punk rock bands. We even have like straight edge bands. I mean, like.
Yeah.
I think there's good bands from
yes.
every genre.
It's just like any other local scene, you have to dig in a bit get your nails dirty in order to...
How would you compare the punk scene to the metal scene? I know in Europe, metal is actually, you know, it's pretty popular.
Yeah.
It's not punk or pop or anything, but would you say Greece...
I think the metal scene in Greece is bigger than the
it's
punk
huge.
Rock scene.
It's
I mean,
huge.
Greece is... a metal country.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like the roots are metal. So.
We like our coffee cold and our heads headbanging all the way. Give us a bit of Anthrax and Megadeth, and that's the only thing we need. I mean, like, even the not the newest generation of punk rockers, but the oldest generation of punks, they come from roots from thrash and and of course, you know, this whole thing, the new thing with hardcore, which is like influenced by black metal and all this stuff, but you know, you guys know this stuff.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's like a Russia.
Yeah.
Everyone loves metal.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there's some bands in Greece that have come out of Greece, and you know, bands like Rotting Christ or Septic Flesh, who
kick ass.
Oh yeah, two of my favorites. Septic Flesh will be here on Wednesday, actually.
Yeah,
they're playing here.
Their drummer actually helped us record the drums on our our split with Insane.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
He was.
He's good, huh?
He tuned our drums.
He came to tune our drums.
I don't know if it's called actually helping, but
he's a good, nice
seems
guy.
Like a nice
he's
guy.
A good guy. He's a good guy.
Because we're planning to interview him. And have the full Greek on show interview with you guys, then interview the theme as a metal.
Same show.
Cool. Same show.
Awesome.
Have like two interviews, and we're just.
Would be an honor to be next to a band that stands for so many years.
Yeah. Well,
he's a sound producer, and he's in the middle of recording a band that I used to play with, a metal band, and you know, so he's involved. Let's put it like
all
this.
All those guys, they have their fingers in lots of projects. Eh? Yeah. It's an amazing.
It's music, you know. Yeah. How can you not be happy and creative when you deal with such a nice thing as music?
Yeah, you're right.
This punk rock music, I heard like there's different opinions that, you know, when country is going or like society is going for some rough stuff, it's really gives a kick for the punk bands because punk kids usually are very socially active.
That is true.
We all know that there's some problems back home in Greece. Does that, you know, help is not the right word. Does it, like, you know,
affect
the punk scene? Because people are probably, I expect punks and people in general being angry about the whole thing. Does that affect the music?
So far, it always does. But like Greece has been in this kind of hibernation state for some years since the early 90s, where the development started. Mm-hmm. And this is the first signs of resentment. Okay, the first times were maybe a couple of years ago, but this is the first time that actually people realize that they've been fucked one too many times.
And so
it does, yeah, yes, pretty hard this time, I guess.
Yeah, but Greeks have always been angry. So,
yeah, but mean, we do have a big history about like leftist and anarchist and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it does affect a lot, but in a way that maybe we should reconsider some things on how things should be changed, what are our means and our purpose, and is it just about like throwing a rock on a car?
What's the goal you want? And
or is it more than that? Is it just like about shouting about what you want?
No, or how you're gonna get it?
Or how you're gonna get it? You know, it's easy to whine and it's easy to complain about, and Greeks are pretty fucking good when it comes to complaining and stuff like that. But you know, there's sometimes where you have to actually move a bit, like. And I'm not trying to disrespect, you know, my own country and my own people, but I do believe that we've had all these things coming, and we knew it, and we just kind of like looked away until the problem was like staring in our face. So let's hope that the newest generation, including like the new bands, including the new younger people and younger kids than us, they're gonna look at things in a different way, and they're gonna look at the mistakes we saw and our parents saw, and we kind of did or kind of didn't do anything, and maybe make us feel like assholes that we didn't. They can change everything. And that would be like maybe the best thing.
Yeah, we interviewed Mile Petroza from Creator a couple weeks ago. And he, on their new album, there's a song he wrote about the problems in Greece right now. And he was saying a similar thing, you know, that the blame is being thrown around right now. And
it's 4 years, man.
And it's, you know, he wants to see the mindset needs to change, basically, he's saying, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. The mindset is the main problem in the Greek mentality. It's because people, they're used of always wanting more and never giving, and it does sound a bit bad, but I mean, like, not in a way of giving. It's in a way that they're used of when everything goes good, you just like
you
flourish and you're happy, and you wake up and you have your coffee, your 3 meals a day, 2 shits per day, and you go back home and you're happy. But when it comes to actually really dealing with problems, most of the Greeks, they decide to leave them apart, you know, leave them aside for those who are willing to do it. But when the problem comes straight in their face, then that's when the complaining starts. Yeah. So that's the mentality that needs to change, and it's up to all of us, including myself. I'm not like that much different than anybody else.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for the great set. It was unbelievable.
So we heard the second part of the interview that despite everything from Athens, Greece, and let's move on to the second interview. The second interview was the drummer of the band called Septic Flash from Athens. His name is Fotis. He's a very interesting guy, very passionate about music, very passionate about drumming. He told us a little bit about his new drumming style, and you'll hear that. For now, let's just, for people who had never heard Septic Flash before, let's get familiar with their music, and I would like you to play a song from their last studio album, which came out last year. The name of the album is Great Mass, and we hear a song called A Great Mass of Death. So let's check it out. This is Septic Flesh from Athens, Greece, metal band, and this is a song called A Great Mass of Death.
Hey!
Woof, that was heavy, huh? That was Septic Flesh all the way from Athens, Greece. And that was a song from their album called The Great Mass. And we heard a song which is kind of a title track, A Great Mass of Death. That was very heavy and I enjoyed it. You can hear how the band uses a lot of symphonic orchestra stuff, and we will talk about this in the interview, and let's check it out. Let's hear Fortis, the drummer of Septic Flesh, and he will talk a little bit about this. I found it very interesting. So this is Fortis for Septic Flesh interview part one. Welcome to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Thank you so much for a great set. Unbelievable. Thank you so much, and thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was a good set, man. My throat hurts, my neck, I can't fucking move it. You guys played a great set. This is your first headlining tour.
Yes.
In North America.
First time we're headlining in North America.
How's that been for you compared to... I know you've done headlining shows in Europe before, but how's it been for you here?
It's the first time that we headline, and it's a big step for us. We see, you know, the reaction of the crowd. People want to hear a lot of... our songs, so we have a big set now. You know, we play a lot of time, a lot of our songs, mostly from you know, our two latest albums, Communion and The Great Mass, and we try, you know, to play as many songs as possible. We have a lot of fans that they're, you know, longing to hear all these songs.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a lot of fans following us, and we are really happy about that.
You've mentioned that your fan base is growing as you tour.
Of course.
You've been on tour for this album now for 2 years.
Since March of 2010, I think so, or 11, I don't remember when it was released.
Yeah. April
2011. 2011, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's 1.5 years, I think.
Yeah. I remember hearing in interviews back then,
yeah,
like when you first started touring,
yes,
about doing a show with an orchestra, you know, maybe yeah, filming it even. But you were saying it's not very easy to do right now.
It's not very easy because the budget is really high. You know, it's really demanding to have something such a thing, because we don't have only a quartet or something. We have an orchestra that is, you know, requires a brass section, you know, a string section. It has a lot of people, you know, choir. In this album, we used 150 musicians, and the final result is what you hear. So we would like to get as close to the album as possible. So yeah, this would be an attempt that we might do maybe in Greece, maybe in France, or maybe in the States, somewhere that we can, you know, really do this, but we would like also to rehearse once.
Of course.
You know, you understand?
Would you say you're closer now to that than you were a year and a half ago?
What?
Would you say you're closer to that being a possibility?
Of course,
now?
Of course, we're really close, because we have a lot of propositions about this, about awesome, making this happen. But we owe this to ourselves. We also want to do this. So I believe that we will... I don't know if we can do it with The Great Mass or with our next album, but for sure we will do this. We owe this to ourselves.
Yeah, you do.
You just mentioned that you used 150 musicians,
yes,
to record the album. It's quite an impressive number. It's a very unique, yes, you know, that people use so many musicians to prepare for the album. How do you pick those musicians? Because as I understand, it's not that easy to find 150 like-minded musicians.
It's not easy, but the good thing is that, like Communion, we worked again with Philharmonics in Prague. So we did the same again. We worked with the same people that we worked before. We had even more musicians now. And, you know, they're really professional musicians. They know how to work with, how to work well and professional. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they just read the score and they play. And they play really good. And this time we also had a boy soprano. That it was really, it's the beginning of the Vampire from Nazareth, mm-hmm, the intro of mm-hmm our album. And, you know, the final result, when you have professionals, is what you hear, you know, what you listen, the final result. It's really, you know, we were really happy with this.
Utilizing an orchestra that big, it takes some skill. Chris Christos, he's studied classical music for over 10 years now. Like, I know he's done work for Hollywood movies even.
He has done music for movie game for not for games oh, you know for games. Video games stuff like that and for some movies I don't know which but I don't know if it's short movies or something but you know he has studied also film scoring he can do you know he's really talented and he's the one he's one of the few that I know that he can combine really good you know the classic music with the death metal element and that's really our strong you know
yeah
it's our strength
it's nice
that's our strong let's say our identity as yeah. a set of flesh
yeah, exactly. I think it's you've said that this, with this album for instance Chris brought his symphonic compositions and you guys wrote the metal around it as opposed to
not exactly he knows exactly how to combine these two elements but that doesn't mean that he writes all the music we also write contribute to that and we write music and sometimes we for example tell him a few melodies and then he orchestrates all this so it's four mind into one it's like a mechanism we all work together and the final result is Septic Flesh
yeah and you've mentioned before that you're a really good team with Chris bringing the orchestra and Spiros with the artwork
of
which
course,
is very
course.
Strong
Spiros beside the artwork beside the vocals beside the bass he's also contributing as writing music and writing really beautiful songs so you understand that each one of us as individuals we have a lot of abilities we don't have only one I'm not just a drummer I also do the productions I also do write music I also compose and do the rhythmic stuff you know we all have ideas and we contribute to that and the final result is you know the songs that we bring to the people
and
we're really happy about it because there are songs that for example we have Vampire from Nazareth we all made this song it's
yeah.
That's why we made the single we all made
the first song.
Something you know we all add a little
pieces.
Something in this song
I think I read somewhere that within a month or two that the Great Mass was released, it surpassed the sales of Communion almost immediately.
Of course. I think in 3 months we topped the Communion, and by far, I know. But okay, the sales doesn't matter. It matters, of course, for the band to grow. But on the other hand, a good album is a good album. I know many albums that they didn't sell, but they are one of my favorites from big bands. So I wouldn't say that sales means that, it's a good album. But I would definitely say that generally Septic Flesh make qualitative albums. Mm-hmm. They have quality, nobody can deny this, and they have a lot of artistic approach, something that many bands they don't have.
Yeah. Would you say that now, within the genre of symphonic metal, Septic Flesh is a leader, as opposed to, you know,
I don't know. I don't know if we are leaders, but I would say that we are really different, because none of any the bands that I know, they don't write music, you know, in an orchestra, and then on top of it they put the metal element. They just write the music, the metal stuff, and then they put the melodies played by violins or brass section or anything. Yeah, exactly. what they fit, so they can make it sound more rich. But we don't do this. Sometimes we write the scores. We have, you know, written down all the orchestra and choir parts, and then on top of that we write the death metal, the metal element.
Yeah. Are you worried now, after an album like The Great Mass, which was such a masterpiece? I know after Communion you were worried about how you're going to follow that up. Now that you've written something that's so, you know, incredible, how are you worried now about the next step? Or
if we wouldn't worry, we wouldn't call ourselves artists, because we're not employers. We don't, you know, we don't go to our work and we have to put stamps, you know. This is what we do. We are artists, and we have worries about being better, being, you know, top, pass ourselves. I don't know how to say it, you know, top ourselves.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, it's really good when you leave a print, you know, behind, to be proud of it, and we're proud for what we do.
Is there, like, you know, considering those two great albums, do you see where is the next step for the band musically?
No, and we don't want to do that, because if you do that, it's like you're saying, I want to buy this car. It's not something that it's ready, because you cannot visualize it yet. You have to really relax, focus, and then be only, you know, do only this, write only music, and write for yourself, because first of all, we like it. We like our music. And then if we like it, then the people will like it, when it's true, generally. Mm-hmm. So I think people is clever now.
So the next step for you is just the process of creation, then you as a team will work together.
Yes, of course.
Speaking of how you mentioned writing for yourselves, Sotiris, the guy, he writes most of your lyrics.
Yes, he writes usually, all the lyrics.
All of them?
Yes.
He usually avoids using lyrics that will alienate some listeners. For example, I think you guys have said that he won't say, for God is bad, or God is good, or Satan this, or Satan that. You know, he writes in a way that lets the listener draw their own experience from the song.
Exactly. That's the answer. Sotiris is doing a really clever thing that I really like it, and I'm really a big fan of his lyrics. I really like that he can write lyrics, and he, you know, any one of us create their own images. For example, you know, you can read lyrics of Sotiris, and then you can create your own images. You can make a story of yourself, and I can make a different one. But, you know, the final result is what the story wants to say.
Yeah.
That's a good thing with Sotiris, and I really admire this. You know, I believe that it's really strong. You know, a strong part of Septic Flesh, that our lyrics. I really believe this.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will agree with that.
Of course.
Another benefit you guys have, apart from all the talent in the group, you have your own studio that you own with Chris.
Of course.
Devastown's
Devastown's
Devastown Studio. It gives you a lot of time to try new things and kind of pick out, you know, the sound that you want.
Of course,
and really,
of course, we had really good, you know, on this album we had the time to experiment, to make, you know, I tried many and different, you know, rhythms that I wanted, you know, different blasts, different you know, feels, different rhythms in songs, different riffs. Mm-hmm. You know, and we saw what fits most. When you have time and you have your own studio and you have, you know, you don't have a pressure of the time that says, you know, hey, you gotta finish. Yeah. You know, the time is passing by and you have, you know, money goes by also.
You mentioned that you sometimes start writing the songs from the classical, from the orchestral point of view. You know, usually when band record a new album, they do the demos. But that's such a complicated way of you writing music. How do usually demos differ from the final?
We do pre-production. This is what we do. For example, we have a few ideas. We all have in our home, you know, a sound card that we can plug in a guitar and play. We all have guitars. We all have, you know, the experience to record a demo sound. Okay, it's not the best, but we can write down the ideas and then, you know, send it to each other. And then we say, ah, this part is good, this part is not. Maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. So we change, you know, we check a lot of things, different things, you know, rhythmic things, melodies and stuff. And we see what is the best for a song structure to make it even better.
And you mentioned having time in your studio to try new blasts and stuff. If you could please explain for the music nerds that listen, your new technique that you developed a couple of years ago, kind of an evolution of the blast beat that you call Hell Blast. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I was really happy about that because I wanted to add it in an album. I wanted to have this in a song. And then I tried it in Lovecraft's Death. You cannot tell it really much. You cannot understand it because it sounds like overdubbing. But then the new album, The Great Mass, and the song Apocalypse, yeah. I wrote it down and then I also filmed it in our DVD. So it's a technique that I use, which I, instead of playing the blast using my left hand, I use it with my feet because I'm a single foot blaster, like we say. And I have the ability to have my both hands right and left and play 16th notes and then make feels while the rhythm of the blast is running, you know, by my feet. So this is really, you know, sounds really massive.
This is why he has magazines about him. You're considered one of the best right now. That's cool.
Thank you.
And also we interviewed a band a couple nights ago who were in Vancouver who say that you helped them tune their drums. Do you remember doing that in your studio at all?
Yes, but which one?
Despite Everything.
Ah, yes.
We're in town.
Yes, really?
Yeah. We mentioned you to them and they were...
the Greek band.
Yes.
Despite Everything. They were here.
They were here.
They played a house show last week.
And shit.
They were staying... The house was a couple
minutes away. I helped a lot of bands and Despite Everything are one of the bands that I helped them in the studio to tune their drums.
Yeah,
yes.
Great band, huh?
Yes, and nice guys.
Yeah, cool. Thanks very much for your time.
Perfect.
I really enjoyed your set. It was fucking awesome, man.
Thank you.
And we hope to see you again really soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thanks, man.
Hello, hello, hello. That was our interview with Fortis, the drummer of a Greek band called Septic Flesh. It's so interesting, and I just got a call from my Polish listener who was also, he felt this passion of, you know, of all those guys who are talking about music. You can really feel that they're interested. They're talking about some really minimalistic details, and it's something, I don't know, I found those interviews really interesting, talking to the bands, musicians from Greece, and feeling their passion, and I found that they're interested. I hope you enjoyed that as well. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I would like to thank my friend Manos, who helped me a lot with the preparation of those interviews, and you know, actually helping me and translating some stuff, and as you can hear, he took a little bit of lead on the second interview, because this is definitely his cup of tea. He's a metalhead. He knows everything about metal. So that was Yeah, that was his thing. You can find the podcast on CITR.ca, also on my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com, and on iTunes you can find the podcast. And I would like to finish the song by the band called Crimp Shrine, a legendary band from East Bay. This is a request from my regular listener Dexter, who listens to the show regularly, and he asked me to play the song by Crimp Shrine. I will be happy to do that, because I also like this band as well. You can hear how they were influenced Operation Ivy. And yeah, this will be a song another day. And after that, we have a DJ competition starting at 11 o'clock, right after we hear Crimpshine. And there will be DJ competition on CITR. Thank you so much for listening. That was a punk rock weekly radio show, Rocket from Russia. This is Crimpshine, DJ competition after that. And have a great week, great weekend. And I'll talk to you and hear you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye. This is Crimpshine.
Hi everyone, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and today is a very special day. We're running a mixed music DJ marathon. This is our first time trying something, and it's an excellent representation of the diverse change in music, as well as how music is experienced. Today we have a long lineup of people, first starting off with CJ, and DJ CJ. He's also the associate news co-director of CITR. So he's got a fair bit of very jazzy, down-tempo, and very feel-good music. So do you want to talk a little bit about what you're going to do today?
Right on. So this is DJ CJ in the house. I am going to be starting off with some Nightmares on Wax, and going to be transitioning into some down-tempo. And playing some of that stuff, and moving on to some chilled drum and bass, and some liquid drum and bass, and maybe some chilled progressive house as well. So stay tuned. This is CITR 101.9 FM.